Hey, you ever pour out your heart to the Lord? I know that some of you probably right now are thinking of doing that. You're going through some things in your life. We want to talk about that. Pouring your heart out to God. It's something that God loves to hear it. He loves us coming before Him, talking to Him, sharing with Him. How many have a, you know, don't raise your hand. But you know what, if you don't have a quiet time with the Lord in the morning, I want to encourage you. Get up, spend some time with God. Get up and you'll find that 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it will never be enough. It will never be enough. You'll enjoy being with the Lord. As you begin to start tasting that the Lord is good, it's kind of like, you ever been to one of those, you're in the mall, there's like a food court there, and everybody's walking around with these little plates and toothpick, and they're trying to get you to try out their little sample. And some of the stuff doesn't look that good, you know, and you try it, and they try to get that taste. And you go, you know what, that's good. I think that's what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. You know, and I'm one, I'm real picky when I go do that kind of stuff. But God wants to build an appetite within you. And that's something that you can cultivate. You start spending time with Him, and it's just awesome. Well, I'll tell you, that's a totally different subject than we're going tonight, but I just felt I needed to say that for somebody. John 6. How many are going through some type of trial right now? You're going through something in your life and you're going, oh man. Or maybe there's one kind of in the distance out there and you go, I kind of see this one coming my way and it looks like The Blob. You ever seen that movie? That used to be something that was really popular back in the 50s, The Blob. And it just starts coming and consuming. I want to tell you, it's for you that I'm saying that to. It's not really a funny thing. It's something, you know, I'm scared. You know, I wonder what's going to happen. You know, there's just that uncertainty that I've never seen before. And some of you, many of you, are in some type of place, some type of job. You've been there for a long time, and you've been there, and it's secure. And all of a sudden, you don't feel too secure there anymore. I want to tell you, number one, that God is the source. And wherever you are, that is the resource. God is the source. Wherever you are, that is the resource that God used to get money into your hand. So we need to be looking at Him all the time. And as we begin to do that, you'll see that God will begin to start opening some other doors for you. And it's amazing. So we want to look at some of that kind of stuff tonight, that there is tests, there are trials that come into our life, and He is with us. He is with us if we have chosen to give Him our lives. And that's really important. So with that, some of you don't know who I am. I'm a good friend of John and Sally's. They live down the street from me. And so with that, Calvary Chapel North Long Beach has sent me out from here because I just really felt called. I'm an old Vietnam vet. I love being with people that were in the military. And they asked me to join the ministry team and start a Sunday morning service down at Camp Pendleton Marine Base about a year and a half now. And it's one of the just one of my awesome fun things that God put into my heart and made me think that it was my idea, and it was all His all along. So, well, with that said, let's take a look at John's Gospel chapter 6. John's Gospel chapter 6. If you've not turned there, why don't you go ahead and we'll ask God's blessing upon our time. Father, once again, open the Word. God, I pray that You would quicken it to every person that's here, that, Lord, there would not be one person that would walk out of here tonight saying, I didn't hear what I was supposed to hear. I heard something here tonight. And I pray, God, that You would change all of us by what we hear. Lord, bless our time. Make it sweet. Make it powerful. God, I pray for those that are walking in fear right now of just the uncertainty of the future. I pray that, God, that You would take care of that, that You would just remove any doubt from their hearts this night, that You are in control, that You are on the throne and You are running things, and no good thing will You withhold to those that walk uprightly before You. So God, we give this to You now. We ask Your blessing upon our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All kinds of pencils and pens up here. So I'm going to put my glasses off and let's get ready to do this. Now, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed Him because they saw His signs, which He performed on those who were diseased. So we've got a whole big crowd coming and following Him because everybody was curious. They started seeing him heal people, people that were just paralyzed, people that had leprosy, blind, probably to the point of death. And here he is. He's healed all these people. And everybody says, wow, let's check him out. Let's see what he is. They're very curious right now. They really don't know the full impact of who he is. But they want to be near him. They want to hang on every word that he has to say. So they're going to start walking in him. They're going to be curious about it. They are just about to go to the banqueting table. They're just about to get a free lunch out of the deal. So this is where they're going. And Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Of course, a teacher at that time did sit. Students many times stood, but I'm sure they were sitting as well. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" You know, it's interesting. He's probably talking to them. They're having a conversation, maybe some interaction, classroom type stuff going on. And all of a sudden, as he's talking, something gets his attention. And he begins to raise his eyes and he looks up and he sees a crowd now. We're going to look at the size of this crowd, but he sees a crowd coming. It says a great multitude, not just a multitude, a great one coming towards him. And he says to Philip, can you see kind of Jesus's kind of sense of humor here? He reminds me a little bit of me. Hey, what are you going to do now? You know, look what you got yourself. What are you going to do now? You know, maybe Philip was thinking himself pretty cool because he got some power. Maybe he had healed some people by some of the stuff that the Lord had enabled him to do. And maybe he was a little puffed up. Maybe he needed to be kind of brought down to size right now. And Jesus looks at Philip and says, hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do here? Where are you going to buy bread that these may eat? But he said this, and here's the word we want to look at tonight, to test him. To test him. For he himself knew what he would do. You know what? I want to tell you tonight as we get started in this that God already knows what he's going to be doing with you. And some of you see a big, giant multitude. You see a giant coming your way, and it's huge. It's big. The Bible says that it's probably close to not only 5,000 people, as we'll see in just a minute, but that doesn't even include the women and children. Man, there's probably 20,000 people coming up the road here, and there's not even a road there. This is out in the country, and they're coming towards them. And it's huge, it's big. And he tells Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip answered him and said, 200 worth of bread, and this is really 8 months' wages, is not sufficient for them, that every one of them should have just a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here. Well, he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. And there was much grass in that place. So the man sat down in about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. It's kind of interesting to start out here. It says, you know, many times tests and trials come into our lives to make us stronger spiritually. A lot of you guys are getting strong right now. You're going through something. You're going through some really something right now. And those things are brought into our life for different reasons. To make us stronger spiritually. To work out our muscles spiritually. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I hate trial messages or sermons. I used to tell Pastor John when he had one of those, oh man, I'm shaking here, bro. I don't want to go out in life with that. But you know, I'll tell you, and we'll get into this a little bit, it is a gift. It's something that God does bring into our life. 1 Peter 1:6 says this, and this you greatly rejoice through now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You're grieved a little bit. James told him, count it all joy. It's like, take it to the bank. You might not experience right now, but take it to the bank and deposit it there, because at the end of the day, there's going to be some joy. You're going to look back at that and you go, man, I'm glad I went through that. I hated it, but I'm glad that we went through it. You know, it's just like, and when we look in here, God brings situations into our life to test us, just like he did Philip. Hey, where are you going to buy this? You'll notice that Philip didn't even answer him right. But he said this to test him, for he already knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him. He just said, we don't even have the money. We don't have anything there. You know, God brings many times situations in our life that are way bigger than us to see how we're going to react, doesn't he? Proverbs 17:3 says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for God, but the Lord tests the heart. Checking out your heart, see what's in there, to see what kind of things are going on. What about some of those people that come into our life? Do you have any of those that kind of rub you the wrong way? But where did that person come from, man? And then maybe after a while, I mean, they really start rubbing you the wrong way, and you've come to the conclusion, that person's of the devil. The devil brought him my way, man. You know, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something, that God's in control in the sense of who comes into your life and who doesn't. And you know, I know people can come and rip us off and things like that, but I'll tell you something. You might want to pray and ask the Lord and say, God, how would you want me to react to this individual? Ask him what I can learn from being around this person, even though they're just absolutely driving me crazy, and maybe hopefully God will take them out of my life one of these days, and that happens. You know, years ago at my job, I was decided to go get a bus license. They needed a guy in Parks and Recreation to drive a bus for different outings with the seniors, with going on beach outings, which I thought would be cool to get me out of the office for a while, kind of stuff like that. So I said, okay, I'm going to start working on getting my bus license, my B license, they call it. So as I started working on this, they gave me, assigned to me an instructor. Now this guy was not only, he was a friend of mine, but man, when it got down to instructing me and teaching me how to ride this bus and how to train to get ready for it, it was terrible. I mean, he would get on me every day, what's that? And you had to, does anybody here have a bus license at all? Tony, I know you do, and I know some, Gail's got one. But I'll tell you, when you're going to get that bus license and you're getting ready for it, you've got to start out at one end of the bus, and you have to start, for the guy at the DMV, you got to start grabbing, this is the mirror. All the bolts are on. You go down to the studs and the wheels, and you're checking those. You're making sure they're tight. You're making sure there's no rust there. Nothing's broken off. The tires are inflated properly. You're reaching under and grabbing the muffler, making sure it's there. You're walking around. You're labeling everything outside that bus and then inside the bus. You're checking the windows, making sure emergency. There is so much detail into this. You're popping the hood. You're naming everything underneath the hood, and you're grabbing it. It's just every time I'd get with this guy, he'd say, okay, go through it. I go, come on. I know what this stuff is. He says, do it. And I'd go through it. And man, by the end, I can't stand this guy. I mean, he's just doing this. He's driving me crazy. He's testing me every time. I can't take this anymore. I don't like this. I don't like you anymore. But I'll tell you, it was the day came that I was going to the DMV to take my test. And we had trained and we had trained and we'd gone over and over and over and over until I was sick to death of him. And that too. And we went down to the DMV, and we pulled in the back parking lot. And he was with me. He drove down because he had the license, and of course I didn't yet. And we pulled in there, and the guy came out, and he just kind of looked. He says, that is the roughest guy in the DMV. You just got him. And he hopped on the bus. And this guy looked at me, and he says, you get two times, buddy. You blow it two times, you're done. You're done. I'm going, ooh. And anyway, I started going through the test. I started going through it. Everything that this guy taught me, that grinded into me, that drove me crazy, man, it came back to me. And I went through it, and I went through it, and I went in it. I got on it. I drove. And to get a bus, they drive with you for a good hour. I mean, your test is probably an hour and a half or so. It just goes on and on and on. And up and down the freeways and train tracks and all that kind of stuff. And when I was done, you know, I stayed pretty cool. But I was ready for it. I was ready for it when I got done. The guy said, good job. That was it. Signed me off, and I was off. I took my friend out. Any place he wanted to go for lunch, we went there. And you know, many times those tests and those things that come into our life, God is getting ready for the next chapter in your life. He's getting ready for the next chapter in my life. And if we'll let him do what he wants to do, you see, he brings trials in to move us around, to get us ready for the next thing that he wants. Philip will never be the same again. Philip will never be the same again. He laid something there, and what did Philip learn? I need to, it's way bigger than me. I can't do it myself, but I need to go through this test. Whatever it is that God has for me, has for you. He's in control. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what's up ahead, but we've got to trust him with our life. God is testing our hearts many times, taking out the impurities that we might really see his face reflecting through our lives. You know, God loves us too much, doesn't he, to leave us the way we are. He just does. You know, the next part I want to look at is God wants us to look at, and here we go with this situation here. He wants us to look at every situation as something that comes from his hand. Every situation. You know, a lot of times, well, I'll take this one. I'll endure it. But that situation, I won't. But every situation, if you are a born-again believer, you have trusted Jesus Christ with your life. Recognize that every situation that comes into our life is from him. It's from him. I'm going to talk to you about temptation in just a second. But let me share some scriptures with you. Psalms 37:3 tells us, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Psalms 23 tells us that God is our shepherd. He guides us and directs us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He goes on to tell how that he leads you beside the still waters. He restores your soul. But he leads and guides and directs our life. James 1:5 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights with no variableness or shadow of turning. That means, you know what? Those things are good from the Lord. The things that God brings into our life, they're good. When trials do come into our lives, they are gifts. They are gifts. Maybe not what you wanted, but nonetheless. I don't know, remember at Christmas time when you were a kid? You go in there and you open it up. You know, you're looking for the toys. And, man, you got a pair of pajamas. My mom still gets me pajamas every year, you know. But, I mean, you're looking for the good stuff. You go, a shirt, come on. Where's the whatever they had back when I was a kid? You know, you want something toys. But I'll tell you, you know, mom knew that you needed some clothes. You know, and God does. He knows what you need in your life more than you know what you need. So God knows their gifts. God wants us to look at every situation as from his hand. Nothing comes our way unless he allows it. I want to say that except temptation. You know, the Lord speaks about those who come into our lives that are unlovable, as I said before. If everyone was easy to love, and I'm going to read a scripture in Luke's gospel, but if everyone was easy to love, wouldn't life be good? Everybody's friendly. Everybody loves each other. I was talking to my relatives that went out to the presidential inauguration in Washington, D.C., and they said everybody was just so wonderful, man. Everybody was so kind. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, why couldn't they be that way all the time? Why did they have to wait to go to an inaugural address to do something like that, you know? But take a look at Luke chapter 6 real quick. Let's just turn over there and read this together. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6:27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. That's interesting, isn't it? Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer to the other. And him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic other. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, don't ask them back again. That's tough to do. And just as you want men to do to you, do also to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For sinners do that. For if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend hoping to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that? For even sinners do that. But love your enemies, do good, lend hoping for nothing in return, and check this out. Who's the payback person on this? And your reward will be great. And your reward will be great. Are you looking to people to pay you back, friends? Or are you looking to God? God says, if you'll do what my word says, I'll reward you. I'll be the one. I'll take care of the tab on that individual. If you've got enough faith to believe that I'll reward you. If you begin to start loving people that are unlovable. Yesterday I was at the Marine base, and I've got a sergeant that comes in, and Tuesday I spend the day with a bunch of Marines that made some mistakes, and it's just a blast. I hang out with these guys, and they're being punished. They're going through it, and but I come in and I bring a big old I have a projector, and we show moral movies. We show The Ultimate Gift. Anybody ever seen that movie before? The Ultimate Gift. Good movie. Good movie. I can recommend that here. It's a faith-based movie, but it's a wonderful movie, and we showed that. And but the bakery at the city of Bellflower, they gave me about 7 boxes filled with pastries. I got about 100 Marines there. And I mean, I come walking in, and I'm in their barracks, and I'm not supposed to be hauling this stuff in there. Man, I come hauling them with these big bags. All these kids are looking up at me when I'm bringing them in. Set them down. Whoa, Pastor, where'd you get these? You know, and they're opening up. They're all lining up, getting ready to sit down, you know. Anyway, after a while, this big old sergeant comes walking in. He goes, hey, what's this stuff, man? And if you've been around the Marine Corps, they yell a lot, like a lot. And they're, where'd you get this? Who brought this in here? And I'm with one of the Navy chaplains. He looks at me and goes, whoops. And, you know, I've been doing it for a long time. And he just yells and starts cursing and stuff like that, cussing. And I'm going, wait a minute, come on, man. And I you think for a second, man, I take that guy out and get in his face. Well, after it was over, I saw, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he made, you know, he just kind of, you know, put a wet towel on it. But at the end of the day, I walked out and I saw him coming down. And I just felt like the Lord said, love this guy. Love him. And I said, hey, what's your name? He said, my name's Steve. And I said, I like that name. I said, my name's Steve too. And we started talking. And I told him my son was the same rank that he was. I said, I have a son that's in the Marine Corps. And I said, he's the same rank as you. And I said, as a matter of fact, he's going to the dark side right now. He goes, really? And he started smiling. And him and I just sat there, and the other chaplain just stood back, and we just started talking. We had just the best time together. We started talking. I said, you knew the Lord one time in your life, didn't you? He said, yes, I did. I said, what happened? He said, well, I don't want to talk about it, sir. And, you know, it just broke some things down. But I'll tell you, if we will begin to start loving people and not treating them the other way. I'll tell you, God will, you just read it in the Word. I believe God's Word. He says, I'll take care of it. I'll reward you. You take that step of faith and let me love those people through you. I'll do it. You know, you look at that and you go, that's an impossible thing to make happen. Well, it is impossible, but we're going to see that God does impossible things here. So let's take a look. So God wants us to love other people. The other thing I wanted to share with you that nothing comes into our lives unless God allows that. But there's something that does come our way, and it waves at us at a distance. And that is temptation. The book of James says, "No, don't say when you're tempted, well, I'm tempted of God. For God tempts no man with evil, neither he tempts any man. Every man is drawn away with his own lust when he's enticed." So as we begin to walk on the way that God has for us, there are going to be times that in a distance there's a flag waving, there's somebody out there, there's something out there that waves and tries to draw us in to tempt us away from walking with the Lord. And we need to be careful. So temptation draws us away from God. Trials and testing draw us to the Lord. Years ago there was the royal family in England had went to these Alps, or and all the wealthy people went there. And they all went there, all the, you know, just Fergie and all the different people that were part of the royal family there in England, and they were snow scanned. And as they were there snow scanned, there was a sign that said, no trespassing, avalanche, danger, don't get off the trail, don't go over here. And of course, a couple of the guys thought, well, this really doesn't pertain to us. That never happens. I know if we go over here, that won't happen to us. Well, they did, and one of them was killed, and that was in the papers probably 5 or 6 years ago. But I will tell you something, that God puts that on us. He says, don't trespass. Don't get off the trail that I have for you. Gentlemen, ladies, if you get off the trail, you get right back on the trail and you say, Lord, I confess that. God, I blew it. God, clean me up. Get me going. I want to walk with you. Don't go down there, because you know what? If you stay there long enough, there's going to be an avalanche, and it's coming. It might look real nice and peaceful and calm and quiet, but it'll come. So stay back on the trail. Don't be tempted by the adversary. He does that kind of stuff. And just our own self rips us off. So those are the things that can happen to us. Trials bring us closer. God loves us so much, as I said, He doesn't want to leave us the way that we are. Let's take a look at the rest of our story here. It says, where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? He did this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered, hey, but there's not enough money. You know, a lot of times that we do stuff, you start looking at yourself. You ever get into a trial that maybe God's taking you through, or a situation, and you look in your pockets and you pull them out and you go, it's empty. I don't have anything there to take care of it. And sometimes we begin to start looking at ourselves rather than looking at God. We begin to start saying, what do I have here that I can take care of this? And if you go on a little bit, it said, one of the other disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, hey, there's a lad over here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are these among so many? You know, it's kind of like, hey, man, there's some hope. We got something here. And then all of a sudden he looks at the crowd and he goes, what are these among so many? You know, and it's like that in life. God sometimes brings something so huge. And it doesn't happen that often, but something so big that everything you have, and then you go, well, I can't make this happen. And maybe you might even look to somebody else, and they can't make it happen either. Those are the times that we come and we ask the Lord. You know, God does not want us to be independent from Him as much as you and I want to be independent. We just do. That's our nature. We want to be, I want to be an island. I want to be able to be self-sufficient. I want to be able to handle this on my own. And yet God does not want us to be. He wants us absolutely to depend upon Him. That's old saying, God helps those that help themselves. When I was in the service, some of the guys used to pray that. Well, guys, God helps those that help themselves. You know, I'll tell you, God helps those that leave it up to Him. Begin to let Him work. Let Him to have it. Lord, I can't handle this. Matthew 19:26 tells us, Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Psalms 118:8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You're looking at somebody at work and maybe he's your boss, and I'm trusting in this guy to keep me here. You know, have another thing coming, you know. I'll tell you. Psalms 18:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. And Philip says this. He says, 8 months' wages can't feed them. I'll tell you, where am I going to... He doesn't even answer the question right. He just says, you know what? We don't even have enough money for it. It was a test. So, you know what? So often people just want to carry the weight of the world themselves. And the Lord never intended that. He wants you to put His trust, your trust in Him. But He goes on here, so we're not to look to other people. We're not to look really to ourselves all the time. But we need to look. We need to look to God. God would say, let me do it. You know, I like this one. It says, if you let God answer the door when fear comes knocking, you'll discover faith will help you slam the door right in its face. So when fear begins to start moving in on your life, let the Lord take care of it. Watch what Jesus did with just this little amount now. Little amount. There's a little bit of stuff. They come and here's what Andrew. Andrew, Simon's brother, said to him, hey, there's a lad over here. He's got 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish. But what are these? And look what Jesus says. He says, make the people sit down. Make the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in that place. The men sat down and the number was 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and here is the ticket, my friends. There's nothing there, barely nothing there. That kid is the one that offers just something, but here is the ticket when we're going through a trial. It says, and he gave thanks. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. You know, God wants us to be a thankful people. A people that when trials come into our life, that we recognize that they are from Him, that they are a gift, that He is running your life, He's running my life. He's running the things that control things around me. The Bible says all things are working together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. So when trials come, instead of complaining, we need to what? We need to give thanks, don't we? God says, I want you to be a thankful people. Psalms 116:17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify in Him with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then finally, I love this one, Philippians 4:6, and I know that some of you might be going through this right now. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So He says, I don't want you to be anxious, but I want you to pray. And I want you to thank Me and make your request to Me. And I'm going to give you peace, and I'm going to surround you. I'm going to bless your lives. My friends, these are things that we need to do. We need to allow this to be such a part of it. But Jesus, He tested them, and then He did it, didn't He? He tested them, and then He took over and says, hey, let me do it. I'm going to get you through this test. I'm going to get you through this trial. Don't back off. Everybody could have said, you know, one of the other Gospels, it says, hey, tell them to go into some city somewhere else to get something. Don't leave them here for us. And, you know, God says, I want you to take care of it. And whenever the Lord tells you and has you do something, I'll tell you, He'll give you the ability to take care of it. God wants us to be a thankful people. That's just really part of it. You know, as I'm winding down here fast, I know that I have 20 minutes to preach at Camp Pendleton in the morning. So sometimes I get done a little bit quick. We're not done yet, but we're going to be done pretty soon. Do you want to know the will of God for your life? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For you. We need to be a thankful people, my friends. And that's something that it's easy to start grumbling. It's easy to start, well, you don't know what they're doing to me. You know what? You need to be praying for those people. And whatever comes your way. And I know a lot of you are going to have, they're just an arena of stuff out there right now. And there's some dark clouds coming your way. And you're fearful. Some of you are fearful and going, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know where that next paycheck's going to come. I want to tell you, get your eyes off that giant. Get them onto the Lord. Get them onto the Lord. Don't look to yourself, especially right now. Look to Him. Look to Him. See what He wants to do with you. You know, trials come in all kinds of disguises, don't they? I wanted to read you something here. This was a man that called in at a radio station in North Fork, Virginia. Called the station to share a story about September 11th, 2003, and 2 years after the tragedy. His name was Robert Matthews. These are his words. A few weeks before September 11th, my wife and I found out that we were going to have our first child. She planned a trip out to California to visit her sister. And on our way to the airport, we prayed that God would grant my wife a safe trip and be with her. shortly after, I said, well, amen. We both heard a loud pop, and the car shook violently. We had blown a tire. I replaced the tire as quickly as I could, but we still missed her flight. Both were very upset as we drove home. You ever had that happen to you? No, I'm not going to make it, man. You're just upset as you drive home. Well, we received a call from my father, who was a retired fireman from New York. He asked what my wife's flight number was, but I explained that we missed the flight. My father informed me that her flight was the one that crashed into the Southern Tower. I was too shocked to speak. My father had also had more news for me. He was going to help. This is not something I can't just sit by for. I have to do something. I was concerned for his safety, and of course, but more because he had never given his life to Christ. After a brief debate, I knew his mind was made up, and before he got off the phone, he said, "Take good care of my grandchild." Those were the last words I ever heard my father say. He died while helping in the rescue effort. My joy that my prayer of safety for my wife had been answered quickly, but it became angry. I was angry at God, at my father, and at myself. I had gone for nearly 2 years blaming God for taking my father away. My son would never know his grandfather. My father had never accepted Christ, and I got to never say goodbye. Then something happened. About 2 months ago, I was sitting at home with my wife and my son when there came a knock at the door. I looked at my wife, but I could tell she wasn't expecting anyone. I opened the door to a couple with a small child. The man looked at me and asked if my father's name was Jake Matthews. I told him it was. He quickly grabbed my hand and said, "I never got a chance to meet your father, but it is an honor to meet his son." He explained to me that his wife had worked in the World Trade Center and had been caught inside after the attack. She was pregnant and had been caught under the debris. He then explained that his father had been one that found his wife, got the debris off of her, and freed her. He then explained that my father had been the one to find his wife to free her, but as my eyes welled up with tears as I thought about my father giving his life for people like this. And then he said, "There's something else you need to know." My wife then told me that as my father worked to free her, she talked to him and led him to Christ. I began sobbing. Now I know that when I get to heaven, my father will be standing beside Jesus to welcome me, and that this family would be able to thank him themselves. When their baby boy was born, they named him Jacob Matthew in honor of my father, who gave his life so that a mother and a baby could live. This story should help us realize this, that God is always in control. We may not see the reason behind these things, and we may never know this side of heaven, but God is always in control. You know, I don't know how things are looking for you tonight, and maybe obstacles, giants, and things like that, but I'll tell you, my Bible tells me that God is in control. If you're walking with Him, you're living for Him. And even if you found yourself, "I'm not perfect," well, neither am I. Neither is John and anybody else. We're just beggars telling other beggars where to get bread and how to make it there. So I want to encourage you, whatever's coming your way, God's in control. Let Him run your life. Leave it to Him. Look to Him. And I'll tell you, He already knows what He's going to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray tonight that God is those that are here that are going through trials, that are going through some severe testings, out of a job. Don't know where I'm going to get the next job. I don't know where I'm going to go. Lord, I don't know what to do, but You do. You do, Lord. God, I pray that You would go before them, that You would open some doors that they could never imagine. They could never even know what's up ahead. But You know what's up ahead. You're guiding and directing their lives. God, bring us all close to You. Father, teach us Your way. Use this time, God, to make us stronger, Lord. We ask for Your help. If you're here tonight and you're one that I'm talking to, you're going through this, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking around at you. We're going to pray for you tonight. Okay, we got some people in here who are just going through some trials. I mean, it's the monster trial, you know. And so we want to pray that would you just, you see the people around you. Some of you can get up and just lay hands on them real quick. And just we want to bless these people. We just want to bless you. Would you just, some of you just get up, see this guy right here, over there. Just pray for him a second. And I don't care who you are. You have permission from me. You can get up and walk over and pray for that individual. Father, I pray, God, as we pray for these people that are going through these severe trials, that maybe they have a son or a daughter that's just going through something and they're not where they want them to be. And they're causing them grief, Lord. I pray, God, for these families, Lord, that you would bring healing, you'd bring touch. And we give you thanks, Lord, that you know what to do and you know how to help. Father, I pray that, God, that you would just bring blessing upon these families, Lord. These people that need to provide bread for their families, Lord, I ask, God, for your blessing. I pray that if anybody's sick or afflicted tonight, I pray, God, your touch as well. Just come and bring healing, Lord. Bring healing. God, we just thank you for tonight. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. There'll be that temptation after hearing this message to turn around. I'll tell you, don't fear. You keep your eyes on the Lord. He knows. He knows. This is a word for you tonight. And you just keep your eyes straight ahead on the road, that, on the path that God has.